if you will. And I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Matthew's Gospel in chapter number 7 in your Bible, if you will, please, tonight. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7 in the Word of God. All right, well, I just thank you for coming and braving the heat and all those things that you have to, you know, get over to be able to come to church. But, you know, it's good to have air conditioning, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord with God's people.
Amen.
So we're thankful for your coming. All right, Matthew chapter number 7, please, in your Bible. These are very scary words here. Words that ought to make all of us sit up and take notice. And I pray that they will get your attention tonight. I hope they will get your attention tonight and my attention as well. So we're going to read, starting with verse number 21, please, in your Bible. And let's read verse number 21. The Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name we cast out devils, in thy name we've done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for every opportunity to open the Bible. And we pray that you'll use the Bible in our midst tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit will help me to make the message plain and clear. I pray, Father, that you would save that soul that's here without Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would save that person who thinks they're saved, but they're really not. Lord, I pray that you will help them to see what being saved really is. And, Father, that they will want to do what the Bible says to do, to be saved. And we'll thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we have a lot of problems in America. You know, as we look out across the country, we have problems politically, problems economically. We have lots and lots of problems in America. But you know, I really believe the biggest problem in America is a problem most people don't realize that we have. And that is, we have the problem of the fact that the gospel, the old-time gospel, is not being preached.
Right.
It's not being preached today in America. The old-time gospel, we got a watered-down gospel that's being preached. We've got no gospel that's being preached. You know, just live a good life. We've got all kinds of gospels that are false gospels that are being preached. You know, we got false gospels. You know, join a church and you'll be okay. You'll go to heaven. You know, live a good life. You know, get baptized, go to Mass, you know, you'll be okay, you'll get sins forgiven. We've got a lot of false gospels that are being preached today. As a result, people don't know that there's a difference between one who possesses salvation and one who professes salvation. They profess to possess it, but they are only professors, and they are not possessors. This verse of Scripture makes it very plain that that's so. In this passage of Scripture, verse 21, the Bible says there can be people who are going to say, "Lord, Lord." Look at verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." All right, you find that same phrase used down in verse 22. "Lord, Lord." All right, there will be people who are going to profess that they are people that know the Lord, that they are saved, that, you know, they are born again. They're going to profess that. They're going to profess that. Now, notice, the Bible says, is it going to be just a few people who are going to be professors? People who say they're, you know, Lord, Lord? Is this going to be a few people? Know what the Bible says, verse 22. The Bible says, "Many would say to me." Many. Doesn't say few, does it? It's going to be many. There are going to be many professors. In fact, the fact of the matter is, it looks like to me that there are going to be more professors than possessors of salvation. Many are going to profess, but they are just professors. They are not possessors of salvation. Now, notice something else. The Bible says these people do many wonderful works. They do many wonderful works. The Bible says, last part, verse 22, "And in thy name they've done many wonderful works." They have done it. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says they've done many wonderful works. But then look what the Bible says down in verse number 23. The Bible says, the last part of verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice that their work is iniquity. They do many wonderful works, before men and for church maybe. But, in the eyes of God, it's works that are works of iniquity. See, if you're not a possessor of salvation, all the work that you do is iniquity before God. See, the Bible says that all our righteousness is filthy rags before Holy God. Without possessing salvation, you see, all your work, all my work, no matter how good it is, no matter if it's got a good motive, no matter if it's for a church, no matter if we say it's in the name of Jesus I'm doing this. God says that it's a work of iniquity unless we possess salvation. See, dear friend, you need to realize how important it is to possess salvation. Now notice the result of not possessing salvation. Know what the Bible says in verse number 23. These are the words of Jesus. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Then will I profess to them, verse 23, I never knew you, depart from me. In other words, these are people that Jesus Christ is going to turn away from. How would you like to have Jesus turn away from you? How would you like to have Jesus say, you know what, I'm departing from you. I'm just not going to be around you. I'm leaving you. That's what's going to happen to these people. Jesus is going to depart from them. Now notice, it's not that he's saying here, I'm departing from you because you were saved and now you lost your salvation. A lot of people think that's the reason why Jesus departed, because these people were once saved and then they lost their salvation. No, the Bible does not teach that you lose salvation. What it's saying here is literally, in the Greek language, is a double negative. And what he's saying here, I never, never knew you. In other words, there never was a time that ever knew you personally. See, Jesus is saying to these people, you were professors that you knew me, but you were not possessors of salvation. And so here we find it's very plain that there's one thing that we need to be sure of, folks, and that is that we are a possessor of salvation and not a professor. Why? Because if we're not that, Jesus is going to say to us one day, depart from me, I never, never knew you. I didn't know you for one day, I didn't know you for 1 week, I didn't know you for a month, I didn't know you for a year, I never, never knew you. So, you see, it's so essential that we know that we're possessors of salvation. Now, what does this mean? What does it mean? It simply means this, folks, that you can be a church member and not be a possessor of salvation. It simply means this, that you can say you're a possessor of salvation, but not be a possessor of salvation. See, these people say they know the Lord. See, look at verse 22. Oh, many will say to them, and they'll say, hey, I'm a possessor of salvation. And yet, they are not possessors of salvation. It means this, that you can think that you possess salvation, but not possess it. You see how serious it is?
Yeah.
You see how serious it is that you know for sure that you are a possessor of salvation? Now, why is it so? It's so because there is so little preaching of the old time gospel. It's not being preached in many, many churches. See, it's not being preached on the radio. It's not being preached on television. There is a lot of false gospel being preached. There is a lot of watered-down gospel being preached. And dear friends, that's the reason why there's going to be so many people in the latter days before Jesus comes who are going to be professors of being saved, but they're not going to be possessors of salvation. Now tonight, I want you to see, as a result of the fact that the old time gospel is not being preached like it used to be, and like it ought to be preached in so many churches, I want you to see that as a result of that, There are three major misconceptions people have about possessing salvation. Three major misconceptions. I want you to see if you got these major misconceptions. Because if you do, one day you'll hear Jesus say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you," unless you reject these major misconceptions and turn from them and become a possessor of salvation. All right, the first major misconception is this. Many people think that possessing salvation is believing in God. Well, preacher, I believe in God. I possess salvation. You know, there are a lot of people like that. They think that, because they believe God created the world and they believe all that. They believe God is the one that created this world. And if you believe that, you're very wise, the Bible says, but you're not a possessor of salvation because you believe that. So you're very wise. Foolish in his heart. No God. So you're very wise, you are not a possessor of salvation because you believe in God. See, if that were true, then the devil would be a possessor of salvation. The Bible says the devil believes, James chapter 2, verse 19. So even though he believes in God, he's not a possessor of salvation. We know he's going to be thrown into hell. Bible tells us that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Even though he believes in God, he's going to be thrown into hell. Why? Because he's not a possessor of salvation because he believes in God. If that were true, Jesus would never have had to die on the cross. See, the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross is evidence of the fact that we are not possessors of salvation because we believe in God. See, Jesus had to go to the cross and die because believing in God does not make you a possessor of salvation. In Acts chapter 10, the Bible tells us about a man by the name of Cornelius. And Cornelius, a very religious, a very devout man, he believed in God. And you know what? The Bible tells us he was not a possessor of salvation. Why do I know that? Because the Bible says that God brought Peter by, and Peter opened up the Scriptures and showed Cornelius the words of salvation, and Cornelius became a possessor of salvation as Peter showed him the way to possess salvation. See, you as a Christian perhaps have witnessed to people, and you probably heard him say, "Well, yes, I am a possessor of salvation. I believe in God." No. Dear friend, you are not a possessor of salvation because you believe in God. Don't have this misconception that you are a possessor of salvation because you believe in God, or else one day you will hear Jesus Christ say to you, "Depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you." And that's what's going to happen to so many people. The Bible says, towards the end times, towards the coming of the Lord Jesus, there's going to be so many who will say they possess, but they do not. They profess. And because they profess, they will hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I don't know about you, my friend, but I believe we are in the end times. I believe we are nearing the coming of Jesus Christ. And it's during this time that I believe you will see so many, many who profess to be saved, but they are not possessors of salvation. Why? Because they have the misconception that believing in God makes them a possessor of salvation. But the second misconception many people have about the matter of possessing salvation is this. Many people think that they possess salvation because they have been baptized. "Oh, I've been baptized, preacher. I'm a possessor of salvation." You know, one time I was in New Hampshire, and I was talking to a man, and I said, "Sir, are you saved?" He said, "Yes, I am." Well, I always like to find out what people base that on, say. And so I said, "Well, what makes you think you're saved? What makes you believe that you're saved?" He said, "I've been baptized." You know, why is it there are so many people who think that they possess salvation because they have been baptized? You know why? Because, number one, there are lots of churches that teach that. There are lots of churches teach that when you get baptized, become a possessor of salvation. Dear friend, and the second reason why many people believe that they are possessors of salvation because they've been baptized, is because of the fact they are not aware of the clear teaching of the Bible about baptism. They're not aware of it. Maybe they've never heard the clear teaching of the Bible about baptism. And I want you to see the clear teaching of the Bible about baptism tonight. First of all, the Bible clearly teaches that there are two things clearly taught that I want you to see tonight about being baptized. First of all, the Bible clearly teaches that all saved people are to be baptized.
Amen.
If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you possess salvation, the Bible says, as God's first command to you is to get baptized. Now I say get baptized, you can go down out of the water, come up out of the water.
Amen.
That's what the Bible teaches. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And when you get baptized, you are simply identifying with that which you're trusting to save you. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism does not take away one of a person's sins. It's the blood of Jesus that takes away sin. So we get saved because we have received the Lord as our Savior, and not because we've been baptized. But the Bible does clearly teach that one of the first things a truly saved person does, and one of the first things he wants to do, is that he wants to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You see, that's one of the things that reveals whether a person is a professor of salvation or a possessor. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, "He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." See, when a person becomes a possessor of salvation, they get a heart that wants to do the will of the Father. See, you get a heart that wants to obey the Word of God. See, one of the characteristics of someone who does not really possess salvation, is only a professor of salvation, is they don't want to obey God. They don't have the heart to obey God. They don't have the desire to obey God. You see, it's not there. Oh, they profess their faith, but they don't have a heart that wants to obey God. See, you know, do you have a heart that wants to obey God?
Amen.
That's what possessing salvation is. It is that which gives you a heart that wants to obey the Word of God. I'll never forget, an older couple came and got saved in a meeting I was holding years ago in Pennsylvania. And they were an older couple. Boy, you know, you don't see older couples come. The older you get, the harder it is to get saved. Say. I mean, that's why it's so important to get saved when you're young, when your heart's tender. You know, there are people right here, you've waited so long, it's going to, be a miracle. And of course, it is a miracle when you get saved. But it's going to be a real miracle because your heart is harder because you've waited so long. You wait longer to get saved, it's going to get harder to get saved. Never gets easier to get saved. It never ever gets easier. You know, it only gets harder. Well, this couple, praise God, they came to get saved. And afterwards, I was waiting around to just talk with them and just congratulate them. I was thrilled. You know, this older couple came to become possessors of salvation. And so I was waiting for them, and they came out, and boy, they were just a smile. They were just a glow. And I said, "I'm so glad you got saved." And I said these words, and you know, I don't normally say these words all the time, but right off the bat, but I did. I said, "You know, now that you've been saved, you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Go down under the water, come up out of the water." As soon as I said that, the lady looked at me, and her countenance of joy was totally gone, and she looked at me with a great worried look, and a look of fear. And I said, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe this lady really didn't become a possessor of salvation because it looked like her heart's kind of rebelling against the matter of getting baptized. You know, going down in the water, coming out of the water. Looks like her heart's kind of getting a little bit rebellious here about that. And maybe she never really, got salvation as she's being dealt with in the back room there. You know, maybe she never did. You know, maybe she's just a professor and not a possessor, you know." And then I said to her, I said, "Ma'am, is there a problem with that?" She said, "I am scared to death of water. I have never been swimming in my life. I've never had my head underwater. I don't even take a shower and put my head in the water. I'm scared to death of water, you know?" And she, I'll never forget that. And she said, "But if that's what God wants me to do, I'm going to do it."
Amen.
Praise the Lord. She had a heart that overcame her fear. Amen. She had a heart that wanted to obey God.
Amen.
See, I don't care about the fact that I'm scared to have water. I want to do what God wants me to do.
Amen.
See, that's a possessor of salvation. See, he wants to do what God wants to do. Doesn't matter what the relatives say, I'm going to do what God wants to do. Doesn't matter our personality is like, I'm going to do what God wants to do. Doesn't matter, I'm just going to do what God wants to do. See, that is the possessor of salvation. A lot of these people profess salvation, they can care less about doing what God wants to do. See, that's an indication that they're professors. Listen, if you profess to be saved and you could care less about obeying God than the very first command God gives you after you get saved, get baptized. You better check off. You know, I mean, you may be a professor. You may be like some of these people here in Matthew chapter 21. Many people, by the way, who are going to profess, but the Lord can say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Not saying, "Hey, you know what? You're just a professor. You're not a possessor." I'll never forget that particular night. We got to see that lady get baptized, you know, and her husband get baptized. And I was all excited about it. I like to see people get baptized, obey God. I like to see that. And so I sit in the front, and Lord, I was just saying, Lord, listen, just be with that lady, you know, help her not to, you know, get all fearful and have a heart attack there in the baptistry pool, you know. I just prayed, oh Lord, don't let her get a hold of the preacher, pull the preacher under and drown him, you know. I was just really praying, God, be with that lady, don't let her cause a scene here, you know. And I'll tell you something, that lady, she was up in that baptistry pool. I mean, she's scared to death of water, but you know what? She's standing there, and she goes down under the water, and she comes up out of the water. She's not kicking, she's not screaming, she's not getting a hold of the preacher's hair and pull his hair out of his head, you know. I mean, she's not pulling the preacher in the water, and she's not screaming and yelling, and she comes up face on her face. Oh, I tell you something, God gave her the courage to obey him.
Amen.
You know, she had a heart first of all, but God gave her the courage to do it. See, when you get a heart to do what God wants you to do, then God will give you the courage to do what you ought to do. When you get a heart that wants to witness, you know what? Then you'll get the courage to witness it. When you get a heart that wants to live godly, then you'll get the power from God to live godly. See, you got to have that heart. And there's so many people who are trying to live the Christian life. They don't have a heart for it. See, they're professors. They're not possessors of salvation. See, the Bible says the first thing God commands is that to get saved is to be baptized. That's what the Bible says. If you're here tonight and you are saved, but you've never been baptized, that is, gone down out of the water, come up out of the water, you are either not saved or you're living in disobedience.
Yeah, right.
You're living in disobedience. Yeah. And God, if there's one thing that's clear in the Bible, is this, that God blesses obedience. He looks at our life, and the one thing that He is going to bless your life as He sees it in your life is, do you obey Him? That's the key to the blessing of God. You ever look at someone and say, boy, I'd like to have the blessing of God that person has? I'll tell you, the reason why they got that blessing is because they've been obedient to God. You want the blessing of God in your life? Start obeying Him. That's the way to get God's blessing if you get saved. Now, you don't get saved by being baptized. No, dear friend, you get saved by possessing God's salvation. And that is coming to Jesus Christ and receiving God's salvation by faith. And so that's how you get saved. But the second thing the Bible teaches about being baptized clearly is that only saved people are to be baptized. Only saved people are to be baptized. You know, you don't find anywhere in the Bible where babies are baptized.
Right.
Just don't find it. You know, one time I was looking at a track rack in a church. You know, churches have gospel track racks. You got one out there in the hallway. And I always look at the track rack, and it kind of gives me a little idea of the temperature of the church as far as evangelism. And sometimes I see tracks in that track rack, all yellow, and they've dog eared, and they've been sitting there for 100 years, you know, and nobody's taken a track ever and given it out. And so I always check the track rack. Your track rack looks like you're, you know, getting a heart for evangelism and soul winning, and it looks like you have pretty fresh tracks in there. That's good signs. Anyway, but so I was checking this one church, that track rack, and it had a track there that caught my eye. And it was a track that said, all that the Bible teaches about infant baptism. I thought, oh man, I've been studying my Bible for 50 years now, and you know what? I've never found one verse of Scripture that teaches babies being baptized. I thought, well, this would be interesting to find out all the Bible teaches about infant baptism. And so I picked up that track, I opened it up, and you know what I saw? Nothing.
Amen.
In other words, that track was saying there's nothing in the Bible that teaches about babies being baptized.
Right.
Now, why is it the churches teach that babies ought to be baptized? Because they believe that baptism saves. They believe that baptism takes away sin. Nothing can be further from the Bible. The Apostle Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament books in your New Testament, said these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. He said, I baptize none of you save Crispus and Gaius. Paul is saying, by making that statement, that baptism was not his main mission. His main mission was not to get people baptized. It would be if that's what saves people. But Paul knew that baptism was not that which saves people. Paul knew that salvation is not some external ritual that you go through, but salvation is internal. It is opening your heart and receiving Christ your Savior. It's not some external like baptism. Externals do not save you. Church membership does not save you. You know, going to Lent and through Lent does not save you. Getting baptized, taking communion does not save you. Baptism is a result of salvation. It's not salvation. It's the evidence that a person is saved, but it's not salvation. I love the story of the thief and the cross. Amen? You know, here's these two thieves on either side of Jesus. He's in the middle of the cross. Jesus, you know, he got these two thieves. And the one thief, boy, is under conviction. He knows he's a sinner. He knows that he deserves the punishment of his sins. And he realizes that Jesus is God. And Jesus is on the cross and he's dying for him. And you remember that Jesus said to that man, said, "Today thou shalt be in paradise." He said that, "Today thou shalt be in paradise." Say. Now, you know something? He didn't say that because that thief of the cross was baptized. He was on a cross. How could he ever get baptized?
Right.
He didn't say that because that thief had joined some church. He was on a cross. How could he ever join a church? He didn't say that because that thief had given a bunch of money to the church. That man was a robber and a thief. He probably broke into churches and stole money out of them. How in the world could he ever hear the words Jesus say to him, "Today, thou shalt be in paradise"? You know why he heard those words? Because that thief on the cross became a possessor of salvation.
Amen.
How did he become a possessor of salvation? Remember what he said? "Lord, remember me." You know what the word "remember" means? It means this. "Lord, commit yourself to saving me. Lord, you're my only hope. Lord, I am damned. I am condemned. Without your saving me, Lord, there's no way I'm going to miss hell. Lord, commit yourself to saving me." You see, he opened his heart to the Lord. Say, he internalized Jesus Christ. Have you ever internalized Jesus Christ as your Savior? Say, have you ever opened your heart and received him as your personal Savior? See, salvation is that which is internal. It's not external. Now, externals reveal that we have Christ in our heart. See, externals reveal that. You know, the only way that we evidence salvation is by external things that are in our life. You know, like obedience to the Word of God, like being baptized, like, you know, obeying God, living the holy life. Those are external things and evidence that we have internalized Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:20. The Bible says, "By their fruits ye shall know them." In other words, the external things coming out of a person's life is the way that we can tell somewhat as human beings that a person is saved. Say, someone says they're saved, and there's no external obedience to the Word of God. There's no external of living a holy, godly life. There's no external in that way in their life. Then you know what? We can wonder whether that person is really saved. Did you know this? That no one knows for sure someone else is saved. No one knows for sure. No human being knows for sure someone else is saved. You don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure that you're saved. Why? Because you can't look in my heart, and I can't look in your heart. But there's someone who can. That's the Son of God. That's the God of heaven. Nobody's going to sneak into heaven. I'm full God. God knows the heart, say. He looks at the heart. He looks and see whether or not you have internalized Jesus Christ. Have you internalized him? Have I internalized him? The only way that we as human beings can come anywhere close to knowing whether someone else has really internalized Christ is that which comes out of their life. The fruit that comes out of their life. How they live. How they talk. Where they go. What they do. How they sound. Oh, my friend, have you internalized Jesus Christ? You know, many of the disciples, all the disciples, in fact, thought that Jesus was saved. You know, they thought Jesus was saved. He was a church treasure. He professed salvation. Judas, if you walked up and said, "Judas, are you a Christian? Are you saved?" He would profess, "Yeah, I am. I am." He professed it. One of the disciples ever thought that Judas was not saved. Remember when Jesus said, the disciples said, "One of you going to betray me?" You remember how all the disciples responded? They said, "I." They said, "I." They all responded that way. They said, "I." They didn't say, "Yeah, it's Judas." They point the verse, "Judas, we know you're not saved. You profess you are. You're a church treasure, but we know you're not saved." They didn't point their finger at Judas. Why? Because they couldn't look at his heart.
Yeah.
He had a lot of externals in his life. He was a church treasure. He was hanging around with Jesus. Pretty good person to hang around. But you know something? He never had internalized Jesus Christ as a Savior. And Jesus said to Judas, "You know, it would be better for you that you had never been born." The Bible says concerning Judas, who professed to be saved, but he really wasn't. You know what? And he knew he wasn't really saved. He knew that. And Jesus said, "Hey, there's a place in hell reserved for you. There's a place that you're going to go to." In other words, people who profess to be saved, but they really know they're not, are in dangerous ground. My friend, it'd be better for you to be honest and upright and say, "Right out, I'm not saved. I know it." Than to profess you are and know that you're not. Okay? To profess that you are and know that you're not. The Bible says this man Judas is in a place of, Bible says, a specific place. He went to his own place, the Bible says. He went to his own place in hell because there is nothing that is more despicable to God and more worthy of the judgment of God than someone who professes to be saved, but they're really not saved. They know it. They know it. There are a lot of people who don't know that they're not saved. That may be you. They don't know that even though they profess to be saved, that they're not saved. They don't know it. And I hope tonight, if that's you, that the Spirit of God will show you. And you'll say, "Man, I didn't realize, but I'm really only a professor of salvation. I've never become a possessor of salvation." And you will take advantage of your opportunity tonight and become a possessor of salvation. Say. So the Bible tells us that it is not some external this man possessing salvation. Don't be misled. Don't be foolish in thinking that you are a professor of salvation because you've gone through some external like baptism. My friend, people who think that it's externals that is what makes them a possessor of salvation are going to hear Jesus say one day, "Depart from me. I never knew you." The third thing, because the old time gospel is not being preached today, we are having so much false gospel. It's being preached on the radio. It's being taught on, TV. You know, we got so much sham and watered down preaching and so much false preaching all around our country. And as a result of that, there are many people who are professors of salvation, but not possessors. The third thing that is the result of the old time gospel not being preached in so many places today is this, that many people think that they are possessors of salvation because they believe in Jesus. "Oh, I believe in Jesus, preacher. I'm not a heathen. I believe Jesus went to that cross. I believe He was God. I believe He died for the sins of the world. He died for my sins. I believe that." My friend, you can believe that and still not be a possessor of salvation.
Right.
Now look at John chapter 2 in your Bible, if you will, please. John chapter 2 in your Bible, if you will. And I want you to see John chapter 2 in verse number 23 of John chapter 2. Here we see some people like that. Here we see some people like I just described to you. Verse number 23. "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover," this is Jesus, "in the feast day, many believed in his name." Now look at that. They believed in Jesus Christ. They believed in his name. "When they saw his miracles," which he did. But notice, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Jesus did not commit himself. Folks, I'll tell you something. Getting saved is Jesus committing himself to you.
Yeah.
See, that's why the thief on the cross went to heaven. Because he said, "Lord, commit yourself to save me." And Jesus committed himself to saving him. And he took him right into the very throne room of God. See, these people, Jesus didn't commit himself to saving them. Now, why didn't he? Because they had an insufficient faith. They believed, but they never received him.
Yeah.
They believed him, but they never received him. Now, listen carefully, folks. Listen carefully. Nicodemus was such a man in John chapter 3. Nicodemus, if you walked up to Nicodemus and said, Nicodemus, do you believe in Jesus? He would say, sure, I do. I believe he's God. I believe he worked miracles. You know, in fact, the Bible says there, he believed that Jesus was God there in chapter number 3. And that all the miracles he did were from God. There are many Pharisees that didn't believe they were from God. They believed that they were the works of the devil. But not Nicodemus. He believed that they were God, from God. And Nicodemus believed in Jesus Christ. But Nicodemus was not a possessor of salvation because he believed in Him. How do I know that? Because Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you need to be born again.
Amen.
See, why did Jesus say that to Nicodemus? Because he had never received the Lord. That's how you're born again. You receive the Lord. See, it's just not believe in Him. But you need to receive Him. Now notice the three things that Jesus reveals to Nicodemus. If you want him to possess your salvation, Nicodemus, He reveals to him three things. Now listen, if you want to be a possessor of salvation tonight, and not a professor, and have Jesus say to you, depart from me, I never knew you, you know, because you're a professor. If you want to be a possessor of salvation tonight, listen to the three things that Jesus reveals to Nicodemus, absolute essential to be a possessor of salvation. Would you listen? Would you listen to it? Number one, you got to see that you're not good. You got to realize there's nothing good in you. From the top of your head, tip of your toe, there's nothing good.
Amen.
There's no goodness in any human being before God. Say, Bible says there's none good. No, not one.
Amen.
Listen, there's only one person that's really good in this world. That was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You and I are sinners. We have sinned against God, and there's none of us good. So many churches today are telling people they're good people. You will never be a possessor of salvation believing you're good. You show me someone who says, well, I'm a good man. I'm a good lady. I'll tell you something. I'll show you someone who will never be a possessor of salvation. You know what? To be a possessor of salvation, you've got to come to the place to realize that you are bad and not good. You're a sinner. You're condemned to hell. You need a Savior. You need to see and believe that you're good. Or that you're not good. That you're bad. All right, secondly, you need to believe, and this is what Jesus reveals in Nicodemus, you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to be a possessor of salvation. To be a possessor of salvation, you need to realize and believe that you're not good, that you're bad, you're a sinner. And secondly, you need to realize and believe that Jesus Christ is the only one to be, only way to be saved. That's what Jesus reveals to Nicodemus. He says that he needs to believe in Him. Look at verse number 15, if you will, of John 3. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Look at verse 16, very familiar verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Who's the Him? The only begotten Son of God. My friend, Jesus was perfect. He could be your substitute. He could be my substitute. He could take the penalty of our sin. And He was perfect. And He went to that cross. And He paid the penalty in full because He was man. But He was the God-man as well as man. He was God. He was perfect. He could take that penalty for your sin and my sin. And He took your sin and my sin and the death of that sin. And He was on the cross, but He died on the cross and He was buried. And He came forth the grave. He's at the Father's right hand. And now, through Him, we can be a possessor of salvation. It's not through a church. It's not through Mary. It's not through some other prophet. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Confucius. It's not through Jesus plus a church. It's Jesus alone.
Amen.
It's Jesus alone. It's Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's God. You needed someone perfect to pay the penalty of your sin. I couldn't pay the penalty of your sin. The Pope couldn't do it. You needed a perfect substitute. And Jesus fits the bill. He's the only one who does. He was perfect and He went to the cross. You've got to believe that. All right? But thirdly, to be a possessor of salvation, not only need to believe that you're not good, that you're bad enough to go to hell. Number two, that the only one who can give you the salvation you need and make you become a possessor of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then thirdly, you need to make a decision to receive Him. You need to make a decision to receive Christ as your Savior. You see, folks, there are so many people who believe that Jesus Christ is God. And you're right. There are so many people who believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for their sin. And you're right, He did. There are so many people who believe that because they're sinners, they deserve to go to hell. And you're right, that's exactly true. But you can believe all that and never be a possessor of salvation. You know, I believed all that for many years. I wasn't saved. I wasn't a possessor of salvation. I thought I was. But I wasn't a possessor of salvation. You know what? I had no heart to do what God wanted me to do. I mean, going to church is boring. I mean, I had no heart to read my Bible and pray. I believed Jesus was God. I believe He died for me. I believe that He was the one who could take care of all my sins. But you know, there was no heart of a possessor of salvation in me. Why? Because, folks, I never made a decision to receive Him.
Yeah.
See, there's a difference between believing and receiving. There's a difference between believing. So many people are only professors of salvation because they've never, ever moved from believing in Jesus Christ, that He died for them, that He went to that cross and He paid the penalty of their sin, and He rose from the dead. They've never moved from believing in that to receiving Him as their Savior. Say. Now, what's involved in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior? What's it mean to receive Him? Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. What's involved in receiving Him? Two things are involved. Number one, the first thing is calling on Him to save you. With words that you mean from your heart, words that come out of your mouth, and you call upon the Lord to save you. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. See? That's how you receive it. You call. Involved in calling on the Lord is repentance. One of the most missing messages in so much Bible preaching today, and in fact it doesn't make it Bible preaching, that's why it's not Bible preaching, is the preaching of repentance.
Yeah.
Repenting. See, calling is repenting. It's calling the Lord. It's repenting. What's the word repenting? It means to turn from the way you're going, or what you're believing, to turn from that and turn the other way.
Yeah.
Alright, so in this case, repentance means turning from what you believe, that you were a good person, and you turn from that and say, no, I believe now, I'm a sinner, I'm going to hell. It means turning from thinking that you're by your good works you can get to heaven, and then you turn from that and say, no, that's not true, that's not Bible, my good works can't take care of my sin, and you turn from that, and you say, it's only the work of Jesus Christ and Him alone that can save me. It means turning from loving your sin, and wanting to live in your sin, and wanting to go the way of sin, and it's turning from that and saying, no, boy, that sin I'm living in is going to take you to hell. That sin that I'm living in is, you know, causing me all kinds of heartache and heartbreak. I'm turning from it. I'm turning to a new master now. That master is not sin. That master is the Savior, the Lord Jesus. I want a new master. I want a new life. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life and to save me. Say, that's repentance. Repentance is turning from everything you put your confidence in. Take care of your sin. Everything you put your confidence in, your baptism, your church membership, maybe your good life. No, you say that's not true. That can't take care of my sin. I'm turning from putting my confidence in that, and I'm turning and I'm going to put my confidence totally in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, knowing and believing that He alone can take care of my sin. That's what it means to call the Lord. It means to call with repentance in your heart. It means to call on Him to save your soul. And involved in that calling, and this is part of receiving, is trusting. Trusting that when you call with words that you mean from your heart, that He will keep His promise at that very moment you call. What did He say to you? The very moment you call, right at that very point that you call, that one time that you call, He said, thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, well, you know what, you'll be saved, all the past sins, you'll be saved from them, but boy, now you gotta live right. Those present sins, your life, you know those sins that come to your life, the future, man, you need to get saved over again when those sins come to your life, you know, because my salvation only take care of the sins of your past life. No, listen, he said, when you call, you see, repenting, turning from everything you trusted in, the Savior, and repenting, thinking you're good, and turning and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, and then trusting that when you call at that point, at that very point, that one point in your life, that one time in your life, you call and ask the Savior, that He will keep His promise to you. What did He promise when you call? Thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, maybe you'll be saved. He didn't say, hope you'll be saved. He said, thou shalt be saved. Right there, say. See, when you call, God saves you from all the sins of the past, all the sins of the present, all the sins you ever commit in the future. Jesus Christ will save you from all those sins. You know, when Jesus Christ died, every one of us, our sins were in the future. Weren't they? We weren't around. We weren't even born. You're correct. All our sins in the future. See, when you call on Jesus Christ at a point in time in your life, not many times calling. I met someone one time say this. Oh, I ask the Lord every day to save me. I ask the Lord to save me every day. You ever heard anybody say that? When they say that to me, you know what I say? When did you trust that He did?
Yeah.
You see, they haven't received the Lord. Listen, when you call and ask the Lord to save you every day, you're just revealing you're only a professor of salvation.
That's right.
You're not a possessor. A possessor of salvation is one who believes that all it takes is a point in time in life, one time when you call on the Lord and you repent of the things you used to trust in to take care of your sin, and you repent of thinking you're good, and you repent of putting your confidence in all other kinds of things to take care of your sin, and you totally put your confidence and faith in Jesus Christ, and you trust that when you call, that at that one point in time in your life, that He will keep His promise.
Amen.
And He said, whosoever shall call, didn't say, keep on calling.
Yeah, right.
Whosoever shall call, not many times call. Whosoever shall call at that point in time, trusting that God will keep His promise to those who will call.
Amen.
Who call from their heart. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to be a possessor of salvation. Jesus, You're the only one who can do that. I'm turning to You, Lord. I'm asking You. I'm calling on You at this point in time to save me. My friend, that's how you can possess your salvation. A possessor of salvation. My friend, some of you have believed all your life, pretty much all your life anyway, that Jesus is God, that Jesus died for you, that He died for the sins of the world, He died for your sins, that He is the only way to be saved, that He was buried and He rose again. But you know something, my friend? You're still not a possessor of salvation just believing those things. You need to have a point in time when you receive the Lord. See, I can hold out a gift to you tonight. You know, I could hold this Bible out tonight to you and say, you know, I bought this Bible, I paid for it. I can hold it out to Dave right here, down here in the front row, and say, Dave, I paid this Bible and I want to give it to you as a gift. You know, and he believes that I'm sincere in wanting to give that gift. He believes that the gift's been paid for. All right? So I hold it out to him, and he believes those things. He believes that a gift that I'm sincerely offering to him, he believes that soul. But would he have it? What would he have to do to have the gift?
Receive it.
He'd have to take it. My friend, that's how you become a possessor of salvation.
Amen.
Not only do you believe, oh, those things are important to believe, that you're a sinner, that you're lost, you're on your way to hell, that only Jesus can save you. Hey, you got to believe all those things. That's true. But dear friend, that doesn't make you a possessor of salvation. There has to be a point in time when you receive the Lord. And how do you receive? You call with words that you mean in your heart. And you call repenting of all the things you used to think that would save you. Repenting of all those times when you asked the Lord to save you in the past. And yet you never trusted that He did. Because that's why you're keeping on asking it. You're keeping on asking. You never trusted it. You're not a possessor. You're a professor. To be a possessor, selfish, to move out of the realm of being among the many who are going to hear Jesus say, depart from iniquity, you. To move out of that realm, you've got to receive the Lord as your Savior. A time and a place when you receive Him. Maybe you can make it tonight. And say, you know what? July the 6th, 2010. You know, I, with my mouth, with words that I met from my heart, repenting of all I ever thought and ever trusted that saved me, and turning totally, completely to Jesus, I called on Him to save me. Trusting that when I called, He would do. At that very moment, when I call, what He said He'd do. What He said He'd do. Thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Folks, that's how you become a possessor of salvation. You know, I heard of a man that was in a church. You know, it's a true story. A man that was in a church for many years. He was well known in the church. He and the pastor were out knocking on some doors and giving the gospel out to some people. And as they were going out, they were just talking back and forth. And this man, who was in the car with the pastor, he was just jabbering away, you know, just talking, just about everything. He was just a talker, you know, just running at the mouth, just talking. And they went into this house, and they sat down, and the pastor presented the gospel to this man that they were witnessing to. And after he presented the gospel, you know, they left the house, and they got into the car. And they began to drive down the road, but there was a significant difference. That man that was with the pastor was just stone quiet. He wasn't saying a word. Before, he was just jabbering away, just talking about everything you can think about, just jabbering away. But he is absolutely without any words coming in his mouth. It is quiet in that car, and the pastor's warning, well, whatever happened to this guy? You know, before he was just talking away, and now he's just absolutely quiet, and they're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, the man turns to the pastor and says, Pastor, you know, for many years, I believed in Jesus. I believe that He was God. I believe that He died for me. I believe He died for the sins of the world. I believe that He was the only way to be saved. I believe all of that. But Pastor, I realized as I listened to you present the gospel tonight that I have never received the Lord.
Amen.
I have never received the Lord. And he said, Pastor, I want to receive the Lord as my Savior.
Amen.
And that pastor pulled the car right over alongside the road, and right there alongside the road, that man received Jesus Christ. And he became a possessor of salvation. And he'll never hear Jesus say, depart from me. I never, never knew you. Oh, my friend, these are serious words. We are living at the end times. And the characteristic of the end times, I believe, is there are many professors. Oh, folks, listen. I have seen across the country in many of our meetings recently, Pastor, I've seen a lot of people who come to church regularly. They're well known in the church, who have realized that they've never become possessors of salvation. They never had a time when they received the Lord. And they've gotten saved. And it's amazing. You know why I believe that's happening? Because, folks, there is little time left. Jesus Christ is coming soon. And He wants people who think that they're possessors to wake up and realize they are not possessors of salvation. And He wants them to become possessors of salvation. And never hear Jesus say, depart from me. I never knew you. Listen, one of the most important things you need to know in your life, in these days in which we live, are you a possessor of salvation? Or are you a professor? Check up. If you're not a possessor, you can become one tonight. We're going to give an invitation. We're going to invite people to come and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
If you've never done that, dear friend, won't you do it tonight? And walk out of this building a possessor of salvation. Let's pray.